going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Indeed, it is NFL Draft Day! Brought to you by the NFL. We are glad to be with you here on the Carson Anderson program. Today, we find out the direction, the next step in the addition of roster construction for Brad Holmes in what has been a great day for the Detroit Lions under Brad Holmes. His drafts have been outstanding. In fact, one of the guys he drafted in a late round re-signed yesterday for $21.5 million per highest paid safety in the game, Kirby Joseph, in the fold moving forward. So what is next? Well, what's next is the draft. Down at Allen Park, the war room is all set up. The draft board is ready. It's time to let Brad cook. You know who's got a tough job today? A tough job? You never want to follow a legend. I'll tell you who's got a tough job today. It's the city of Green Bay. You have a tough job, city of Green Bay. Good luck. Because last year's draft in Detroit. Rave reviews.
I suspect Green Bay will do a great job with this.
I think it's going to be a cute little affair.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously they don't have the downtown area that Detroit has. They're not going to have as many people come through as Detroit did. But I think that what they can do there is, I mean, it is Title Town. It is a town that absolutely loves football, and the weather should be nice out there as well. So I think it's gonna show up pretty good.
I think they'll do fine, but man, Detroit, it was such a great event with what was it, 700,000 on the day of the first day of the draft.
Did you catch when Rod Wood dropped the old we expect to have another draft soon?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
I did.
Like, this isn't a rotation like the All-Star game, you know, in other sports where you basically have to wait 30 years before you get the next one.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to think that the Lions are going to get one soon. Why? Because they're not likely to get a Super Bowl again, even though they've had two of them here. So there's a rotation for Super Bowl teams or for Super Bowl cities, but not necessarily for the draft, but maybe there will be, and Detroit would be on that rotation.
All right, so what we've done today is we want you to predict who you think the pick is actually going to be. We've come up with a fictional contest. If you were to earn $25,000 just by guessing who the pick would be at 28, who would you guess? I went with Gray Zabel, interior offensive lineman out of North Dakota State. Versatility to play all over the offensive line, played some tackle, played tackle at North Dakota State, primarily a guard and projected as a guard, and then excelled as a center at the Senior Bowl. I think he checks a lot of boxes of what the Detroit Lions are looking for. That's who I think the pick is going to be. Gator, you think the pick is going to be?
Donovan Esaraku, the edge rusher from Boston College. I could see them going a number of different directions here. I think defensive tackle is the other one that they could go to, depending on who's on the board. But Esaraku just kind of fits everything that they need. He's a former captain. They love that. Everything you hear about the kid, he's just a great kid. The knock on him is that he isn't this, you know, prototypical edge rusher size, that he's not the 6'4 and 270 that Brad Holmes had mentioned last week. But Brad Holmes mentioned in the same breath, we just want players. That's Mike's signal to me that, okay, get ready because you're going to take this guy if he's there, and he's not 6'4 and 270. He's like 6'2 and 250, but he gets to the quarterback, and that's what matters.
Kang, you think the pick is going to be?
I have no idea. And that's why I'm about to say the name I'm going to say, because I think you have to expect the unexpected. And unexpected to me would be defensive tackle, Ohio State, Tyleek Williams, a name that we have not brought up really much at all. I don't think the listeners or texters have brought up at all, because there's so many other defensive linemen that I think, you know, jump off the page to you. But I think those guys could all be gone, and we don't know how Brad Holmes' board looked. Maybe he likes Tyleek Williams more than most. Tyke Williams is a defensive tackle. He's more of a run stuffer, but he's athletic enough to learn technique, I think, and put some pressure on the quarterback. You got DJ Reader getting older. Ali McNeil is not going to start the season. And behind him, they brought in Lopez, they have Anzarike and Broderick Martin. I think they know from what happened last year, you want depth on that defensive line. If you have some guys up the middle, it helps freeze up the edge guys. We know Hutch, what he can do when healthy. Davenport, will he stay healthy? Will he not? But I think if the inside guys are getting double teamed, it makes it easier for the outside guys to get to the quarterback.
All right, who do you think the pick is actually going to be? Not who would you take. Who do you think the pick is going to be? By the way, caller DJ brought up how they have had a trend of taking people that they brought in for one of their 30 visits. Tyleek Williams was brought in by the Detroit Lions for one of their 30 visits.
And that's one of the reasons why I just took a stab at Tyleek Williams.
Dun, dun, dun. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. Let's go to your phone call. Sheldon in Livonia, you're on 97.1. What's up, Sheldon?
All right. This is going to blow your mind, but this is what I think. I think our pick is going to be number 12, the Cowboys pick. We're going to pick Matthew Golden. We're going to lose J-Mo. We're going to lose the number 28th pick, and we're probably going to get an extra third rounder or maybe even fourth rounder. And I'm almost positive. I don't think J-Mo took us off of his Twitter or whatever for nothing. I think he knows he's going to be traded, and I think that's what Jerry Jones is talking about, this big deal that's going to happen during the draft.
Well, you're speculating on something that I'm not buying into, the premise that he wants to leave Detroit. However, it's certainly something that's been out there, and you know, I'm not even sure I love giving the story oxygen, because I think it's a lot of internet poi. But at the end of the day, Sheldon, Matthew Golden did come in for a visit. It has to make you wonder why.
He will be a Lions tonight.
Look at you.
Hey, that's a bold ass prediction there, man. He's saying they're gonna trade up to 12 with the Cowboys, give the Cowboys Jamison Williams and the 28th pick, and the Lions walk away with the 12th pick and a third or fourth rounder. Interesting.
It's one of those deals. It solves a cap issue that is pending. It's not yet, but it's a cap issue that's pending. You know, do they want to or need to do that just now? Probably don't need to do it just now.
I wouldn't do it just now.
Interesting, though. 248-539-9797. Who do you think the pick is going to be tonight? In the meantime, found a mock draft where somebody made two selections at 28. We'll explain today at 12:20 here on Carson Anderson. A 97.1 The Ticket. Just a reminder, we're going to be streaming live tonight at 8 o'clock, our Pistons watch party and our NFL draft watch party. Gator and I will be hosting throughout the entire evening, right up until the Lions pick at 28. Hopefully they do something. If they trade out, well, then that's where we'll sit. Speaking of trading out, the speculation on trades, could we be involved? One person says yes. Talked a little bit about it yesterday. As we get closer and closer to the draft, I think there's a lot of people that have sent us texts today. We haven't asked for trades, but a ton of people just can't help themselves and text us. They're trading the pick, guys. All right, let's talk about it. We'll do that at 12:30 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Spring is here, and there's no better time to make a move than right now at Sarah Chevrolet Southfield. The weather's warming up, the days are getting longer, and it's the perfect time to take advantage of some incredible offers that are hard to beat. Right now, you can lease a 2025 Equinox EV for just $159 a month. That's right, only $159 a month. Plus, if you're looking for something with a little more power, you can drive off in a 2025 Silverado for just $298 a month. And here's the best part. Both offers are with just $999 down. And that includes taxes and fees. Yes, you heard that right. No hidden surprises. Whether you need a sleek new SUV or a powerful truck, Sarah Chevrolet Southfield has the perfect vehicle waiting for you. But you're going to need to act fast. These deals aren't going to last long, so why wait? Head over to Sarah Chevrolet Southfield today and take a test drive. And you're going to see for yourself why they're known for making car buying a stress-free experience. Spring into action today. Don't miss out on these fantastic deals. Sarah Chevrolet Southfield. Together, let's drive.
We'll get back to your phone calls in a moment. Gator, I want to go over to your mock draft.
Okay.
Yep.
You guys asked for it, right?
No, we never do.
Oh, nobody asked for it.
No. It's Gator's annual nobody asked for it mock draft. What stands out to you about your mock draft? What are the points you want to make?
Well, I think the first thing is that at pick number five, I think this is where things start to get interesting. The top four picks, I think, just go to chalk what everybody else is saying with Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, and Will Campbell.
Tennessee, Cleveland, New York, and New England, respectively.
Yes, Jacksonville has the fifth pick. And most mock drafts I see have them taking Mason Graham. But the way I look at it, I think that the Jaguars have a bigger need at having some kind of playmaker in the backfield like Ashton Jeanty. I think that's who they take. I think they need to make sure that Trevor Lawrence has all the weapons that he needs, take a little pressure off him with having a running game, which they haven't really had. I think that's the pick at five, and that kind of changes things the rest of the way. The Raiders, you know, you pointed out earlier that you think the Raiders are a candidate to trade up to probably four to get ahead of Jacksonville so they can take Jeanty. I think it's very astute. They may. But in my mock draft, I don't allow for any trades. This just went straight up with the teams in drafting. I have Will Johnson going to the Raiders at six. They need a corner.
So you're not buying all the
pre-draft. I'm not buying any of this pre-draft crap about Will Johnson slipping all the way to the 20s or something like that. I think Will Johnson's an outstanding player. He got hurt last year, took some time off, and, you know, who's part of the ownership group with the Raiders?
Tom Brady.
And Tom Brady has some ties to Michigan?
Yes, he does.
Okay, so I think he'll have the inside scoop on anything that he wants to know about a player like Will Johnson, and I think they'll jump at that chance to take him. I see at number nine, I have the New Orleans Saints taking quarterback Shedeur Sanders. Again, I think there's a lot of smoke about Shedeur.
You're not buying it.
No, I'm not. I think you just watch him play. The guy's incredible when you watch him play. He waits till the last second before he delivers the ball. He gets drilled and gets right back up and works for the next play. I think he's a heck of a talent. I think the Saints would love to work with him. They need a quarterback. They have massive uncertainty with Derek Carr, what's going on with him. So that makes sense to me. I have Mason Graham from Michigan slipping to number 10 to the Bears. The Bears would love to grab him up and take him there. No, it's not an offensive weapon for their new head coach, who is a former offensive coordinator with the Lions. I think sometimes coaches come in and people pigeonhole them, oh, he's going to take an offensive guy, and they go the exact opposite. I can see that happening with the Bears in this one. Shamar Stewart, I see him going to the Niners at 11. Mm-hmm. I just
Kang, a dream dies at 11.
Yeah, this is what you think the teams will do, right?
Yeah.
Not what you would do.
No, not what I would do, but what I think the teams are going to do. So I see that happening. The Cowboys will get the wide receiver McMillan from Arizona. Moving on through the draft, other big names, you mentioned Tyler Warren, the tight end. I see him going number 14 to Indianapolis. So do a bunch of people. It's a popular pick for him to go to the Colts. At 17, I thought this was interesting. The Bengals, what do? Do they look like they're going to replace Trey Hendrickson? Are they going to be able to trade Trey Hendrickson? What happens there? I see them doing something that might be smart. Just take the Swiss Army knife. Take Nick Amonwari and put him in the defensive backfield, and you can work some other things out. But I think that would be a nice fit for him there. The Jihad Campbell, the linebacker from Alabama, I see him going to Tampa Bay at 19.
A lot of people's dreams die there.
Yeah, and let's think about Tampa. Has for a long time, they've had a really nice crew of linebackers, Levante David and the like. This is the next guy. Jihad Campbell is really good. Derek Harmon.
Ouch.
This to me was absolute death, because this is who does it. The Pittsburgh Steelers. They just draft smart, right? Derek Harmon seems like that's a really smart pick for the Steelers at 21. Colston Loveland, I have him going to the Chargers at 22. It's not the Jim Harbaugh factor. It's the fact that they absolutely need a tight end, and Colston Loveland makes sense for him. West Bloomfield's own Maxwell Hairston, the cornerback from Kentucky, I see him going to the Packers at 23. Then you start to get into the guys that we've talked a lot about. Tyler Booker, the guard. I have him going to the Texans at 25. They need to build up that offensive line to protect their quarterback and get him back to where he was a couple years ago. Gray Zabel, the next pick, goes to the Rams, the offensive lineman from North Dakota State. The Ravens, another team that tends to mess with the Lions. Not anymore. This time they take a safety. They take Malachi Starks, which leaves the Lions ready to select with players like Kenneth Grant, Donovan Ezeraku, Mike Green, and James Pierce, all still on the board. I have the Lions selecting Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College. Mike Green going next at 29. I think there's that uncertainty about him, and I think the Lions look at both players and say, oh, uncertainty, we're going to go with this guy instead, the safer pick, and Ezeraku, and Kenneth Grant would go 30th to the Buffalo Bills. The Eagles would finish out the draft at 32. With James Pierce.
So that's Gators mock draft. Now, you did some analysis of the mock draft. And in your analysis, you wrote, I went with Green to the Lions because of his immediate impact at the position of need. And he's a player too.
There? Damn it.
And I'm like, he took two guys.
It's posted on 97 on the ticket if you want to read it. No, I'm kidding. I don't think it's posted.
I put the wrong name there. Ezeraku is the player, and I need to cross that. I always do that. I had a stony moment.
When I said we have a mock draft where somebody makes two picks at 28, Gator looked at me like, what are you talking about?
Who would do that?
It was you. You took Mike Green and Donovan Ezeraku. So there you go.
Hang on. Let me just read this, make sure I got it.
You're going to proofread it
no,
now?
No. I have the right pick. The uncertainty about Mike Green's off-field issues is a deciding factor for me of why they take Ezeraku.
Read the previous sentence.
Yeah. I meant to say Ezeraku.
I went with Green to the Lions because...
it's okay. It happens.
Well, it's not. Now I got to let Evan know that that's a mistake.
Evan, get on that. Don't post that yet.
Not yet, Ev.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Ole in Detroit. You're on 97. What a ticket. What's up, Ole? Ole, are you there?
Ole?
Is it Ole?
Hello?
Hey, you're on the air.
How you doing?
We're good.
So I think the Lions will trade up to a top 10 pick. I think we trade our first round pick, 2 second rounds, and a next year first round. And I also think we throw JMO to go get Abdul Carter in the draft. If we can't get Abdul Carter, I think then we go get Mason Graham. I think the Lions are not going to sit here anymore, and they have to get someone to help Hutch on the line. So I think that's our best option in this draft.
Well, to get Abdul Carter, you're probably going to have to get into the top three. And to get into the top three, you're going to have to get a GM that's under fire in New York to agree to sell to his fan base delayed gratification. We're going to take a late first rounder this year, presumably a late first rounder next year, late second rounders. I can't see that being nearly enough to get a GM that needs to prove something to his fans that's going to get it done. But can you get into the top 10 with that and take Mason Graham? If you two firsts, two seconds, and JMO, you probably can get, if Mason Graham's still there late in the top 10, that might get it done, but I'm not sure.
I honestly think that he will fall to the, in the top 10 where we could possibly get him. I just don't know what team is that desperate to accept all those draft picks and let their top 10 pick go.
I would bet that you, if I had to bet, I'd bet nobody would. But what you proposed would not get you one of the top three picks, in my opinion. 248-539-9797. Would I love having Abdul Carter? Sure. Would I love having Mason Graham? Absolutely. I don't know. I think both those players are inaccessible. Because the GMs at the top have to prove something. And you're talking about getting late first-round picks?
Yeah. Well, the only thing enticing to the Giants with getting that late first-round pick is that they can still get a quarterback at 28. But, yeah, by and large, you're just not getting the same draft capital you
would. Yeah. I would think it would take a lot more than that. Nick in Livonia, you're next. Hi, Nick.
Hi, how you guys doing?
What's up?
The last caller just stole my thunder. I agree. I think we do this year's first, second, next year's first and second, and then the next year's first as well. So three firsts, two seconds, we go up and get Abdul Carter.
I don't think that gets Abdul Carter. I don't think that gets you a top three pick. These are GMs that GM, the only chance that one of those first rounders is going to be high is the one 3 years from now. This one's obviously low. Next year's will most likely be low. And 2 years, 3 years from now, it could be high. I think it would take a lot more than that, Nick, because he's got to sell it to a fan base. If you're Sean, whatever his name is in New York, you know, he's under fire already, and he's going to say, delay the gratification. I got a whole bunch of picks down the road. I just don't see it. But is this going around? Is this going around? Is this going around somewhere, Nick? Is this like making the rounds on the internet that we get back-to-back calls with the same trade?
No, honestly, I haven't heard anything about it. I just had this little, you know, I think Brad, you know, has held off, and we haven't really attempted for anybody else, and I just think Reed's going to shoot his shot and, you know, make it our year.
Okay. No. I think to get Abdul Carter, it would be insanely costly to get a GM under fire to say, look what I did, and the fan base and the owners and everybody being satisfied with it.
Yeah, I think they'd be very pricey. The player is incredibly talented. I would love to have him. He'd be number one on my draft board. But to move all the way up to number three to grab him, eesh. You know, and you can make the argument the Giants don't even need him at three because of the defensive line that they already have.
Yep.
But you're talking about making that thing a strength. Good God. That would be an amazing defensive line with Abdul Carter on it, and which is why most people have been going there.
Yeah, these are just like far-fetched dreams the last two callers have had of moving up to get Abdul Carter. But I think the underlying issue is maybe Lions fans are a little restless and want something aggressive. Now, I can understand that, but you're not getting up to the top three or top five. But if I think the Lions fans are seeing a window with the Lions in the Super Bowl, and they want some instant gratification. I get that. But you got to be more realistic of what you're going to be able to move up and get, though.
It's been a weird off season, and I feel like much of this fan base has acted like they don't already have Aiden Hutchinson in the fold. I think and last year, for a bulk of the season, they didn't. And we saw what it looked like. Defensively, there were struggles. They still went 15-2. This year, they're adding Aiden Hutchinson back into the fold. And all of these people that want two elite edge rushers, yeah, I understand the allure of that, but there are plenty of teams that have won Super Bowls without elite edge rushers, and the cost, not only against the cap, but, well, not if you draft somebody, but some of the veterans we talked about, but this, I find it, the desire to do this far exceeds the need to do it.
But you also, you guys have heard this, and I've seen the ticket text and the calls.
Yeah.
This is like the most devastating clean break of a leg ever. You know what I mean? Right. Like yeah. Seriously, yeah. Like fans are like, they're like a lot of them, not every one of them, are genuinely worried of how Hutch is coming back. I think that plays a role into these calls for edge, move up and get an edge guy as well.
It does, which is, I think it's interesting because had it happened like
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You know, 2 years ago, nobody worries about it. But you saw it last, and you have concerns, and I get it. But I feel like we have to hold the hand of the Lions fan and say, it's going to be okay. Look, let me show you a video. Here's Aiden Hutchinson working out like 2 weeks ago, doing sprints while also, you know, jab stepping to the left and to the right. He's going to be okay.
248-539-9797-97 won the ticket. Get to some Tiger stuff coming up today at 12:50. Heavy NFL draft talk today. We've mixed in some Pistons discussion as well. And if you have, if you got tickets for tonight, what are you expecting? What are you bringing to the table? What are you bringing to the table if you're going tonight? Is this going to be the most difficult building to play in this NBA postseason?
If I were going, I'd be thunder sticking so hard. So hard, man. Do they have backup thunder sticks? I'd need one.
You need an extra pair. It's the first 10,000, I think, get the thunder sticks.
Those things are so annoying.
And they're back, baby.
They're so loud, and they're so annoying.
You know what? But it's for us this time.
But for tonight,
you know what I mean? Just get on board.
It's been a minute.
Yep, get on board.
248-539-9797. Let's get back to your open line calls. Darren's in Ann Arbor and next on 97.1. Hello, Darren.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Cowboys fan here, and I'm just trying to, you know, find the medium ground here. You know, we're in desperate need of a receiver. You guys want to move up in the draft to get one of those top two edge rushers. Mike Green's going to fall between that 10 to 15 range, so why not? We'll give you our 12th pick. We'll move back. We'll even throw in like a third or a fourth just to, you know, sweeten things up. What do you guys think?
Okay, I'm not sure I understand completely the deal. You're giving us 12, and we are giving you what? And you're giving us a third or a fourth.
No, we're gonna take 28, right?
Yeah.
Or is that where? And then we'll add in a sweetener as well. So we're swapping picks, and then you're throwing JMO to us because we're in desperate need of a receiver, and then we add in a third or a fourth either this year or next.
The problem I have with this trade is that it creates a hole for the Lions in that they move up to 12, as you said, to take Mike Green. And they don't pick again till 60, and now they need a wide receiver. So they just shifted from one need to the next. If I were a GM, I wouldn't make that trade. The only way I'd make that trade is if I thought there was something about Jameson Williams that's going to make him not worth it long term.
Now I know Amon Ra's like a speedier inside receiver guy. You know, Cortland Sutton's available. I've heard through the market. You know, that feels your goal line big physical receiver need. You know what I mean? So obviously maybe not through the draft you guys upgrade receiver, but you guys have had a record of, you know, adding some older guys to come play that, you know, wide receiver two, wide receiver three kind of position.
Well, I love your respect for our organization here, Darren. And I wish you luck with your wide receiver needs. But I'm gonna pass on this trade.
I'm intrigued by it, but the thing that I'm intrigued by is who I take at 12. I'm not taking a receiver at 12.
No, he said take Mike Green.
I don't – well, again, with Mike Green, it's all about
– yeah.
I mean – the off-field stuff. I mean –
the crazy thing is Mike Green could be on the board at 28.
He could. And so – and Derek Harmon is like a guy I would love, but is –
there's
is
too
he,
much –
but he might what? Be there.
That's the point. You're right. There's too many guys that are too attractive at 28 to make that move.
Yep.
To get super aggressive to go after one specific guy. Now, maybe the Lions see it differently. If the Lions see this draft, there's two guys on the defensive line that we would like. One is Abdul Carter. Two is Mike Green. All the rest, it's a bunch of poi internet draft guru crap. And they don't like any of the rest of the guys. Then they might do it. I feel like that's unlikely. I feel like it's very unlikely.
Jalen Walker?
Yeah, I mean...
if he's there,
all of those defensive tackles.
It's like, I'm not sure. I mean, only, the Lions know what they know, right? Clearly more than us. I'd love to know what the separation is that they see between Abdul Carter and let's say, you know, Shamar Stewart and Jalen Walker and Donovan Azeraku. You know, what's the separation there? Is there enough where it matters? And is there a ton of separation between Jalen Walker and Donovan Azeraku? Is there a ton of separation between Mason Graham and Derek Harmon or Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant? You saw both guys play for years.
Yes.
When you look at Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham, do you clearly think that Mason Graham is better? Like, clearly.
I think he's better. If I had to line him up, it'd be Graham ahead of him, for sure. I think Mason Graham, with his quickness and his skill set, some of the stuff he did against double teams was amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, yeah, I think he's clearly the number one defensive tackle. But that bucket of second defensive tackle is deep. And
it's at least a trio with Nolan Harmon, Grant, and then you want to throw in the Ohio State guy, Kane's dude.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have names listed in order, of course, but also I think they have them in tiers. So that's where you want to know the gap difference, Gator, is how far is the gap from Mason Graham to Kenneth Grant? Well, what tier are they in? You know, let's say you only have one guy in tier one, Mason Graham. How far is the next, you know, tier two, tier three guys? And that's where, you know, if you absolutely love a kid and he starts to fall, that's when you get aggressive for that guy. But if they're all in the same tier, then you just stay back and be patient. Brad Holmes has talked about being patient.
John's in Royal Oak and next. Hello, John.
Hey, what's going on? Happy Draft Thursday. It's about time. It is here, boys.
It's on. Are we excited? It's on.
There is absolutely no way Brad Holmes is giving up a first this year, a second this year, a first next year, a second next year, and a third in 2000, and a first in 2027. For an edge rusher. He's already said he's sick of hearing the media. He's sick of hearing the fans saying, we need edge. Honestly, I could see him being stubborn, getting a guard, maybe trading up to get an edge rusher in the second, but more than likely maybe waiting until the third just to say, hey, I know what I'm doing. I'm the GM. You guys are armchair GMs. Chill out. But there's no way he's trading three firsts For Abdul Carter. Like, we wouldn't give that up.
I don't even think the Giants would take the trade.
Who was it? Garrett, that they wanted. If you're not giving that up for Myles Garrett, why would you give it up for an unproven rookie?
Well, you'd have to super believe in the rookie because he comes 10 times cheaper than Myles Garrett.
Saving a ton of money.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I think that if he moves up, it's not one of those, I'm going to sell the farm. Because this dude loves his draft picks and kills it with the draft picks. I mean, if you think about the way he approaches the draft, he thinks of it, oh, let me go out and get myself four more starters that are all good at football. He doesn't want to give those picks up. And, I think Abdul Carter has a chance to be very, very good. I don't think he is a, quote, generational edge rusher that you have to have. I'll tell you why I put that in quotes coming up in 5 minutes. Hey, don't miss your chance to bet on all the clutch shots and legendary performances with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel is the best place to find all your favorite player props. And now you can make a heads-up play with player performance trends. That means if you want to bet on a player to score 30 points, put up a triple-double, you can check out the latest stats and see who's hot without leaving the app. They update everything. Plus, after games tip off, you can combine live prop bets in the same game parlays for a chance to win big. I'm not a same game parlay guy, but here's what you should be if you are thinking about doing this. You can bet $5 on your first bet if you haven't joined FanDuel yet. $5 on your first bet, and you get $250 in bonus bets if that bet wins. So visit FanDuel.com/Doug to join today. Then you find a prop bet, like a player prop. You can bet over under Cade Cunningham, like 15 points tonight. Something that's likely to happen. You won't get a big return on your $5, but then you get the $250 in bonus bets to do with whatever you want. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. on a ticket. It's NFL draft day. All right, I mentioned before, generational talent. Tonight, of course, we'll all sit down and we'll enjoy the National Football League draft. And that means the draft broadcast. There are things that I love about the draft broadcast, and there are things that people love, and there are things that people hate about the draft broadcast. My favorite thing about the draft broadcast and watching the draft broadcast, I love war room cutaways. I love when you get to see into the war room, even though it leaves me wanting more. I feel like it's pretty much the closest I'm ever going to get to being a fly on the wall when I get to see what's going on in a team's war room. I love seeing teams, the player personnel people celebrate, celebrate a pick, high five each other.
We got our guy.
Yeah, and that's the lift the curtain moment. So I think that's one of my favorite things about the draft broadcast. What do you like about the draft broadcast?
I like watching the guys that we really rely on for all the information, like Adam Schefter. I love when he's at the table and he's staring at his phone, or either one of his, two phones, whatever.
Yeah.
I love when he's looking at his phone and you can tell he's ready to tell somebody some breaking news, because that's the fun part. And a smile comes up to my face every single time when the commissioner comes up and says, "We have a trade."
Or
if they tell you that a trade before the commissioner gets up there, "We have a trade." I love that. I freaking love that. It's like LFG. Here we go.
You know what else I love about watching the draft? I love this.
Yes, you do.
You stop what you're doing. And it makes even more sense when you start getting into Saturday's broadcast, when they're just analyzing everything that's happened so far. The chime will sound and they'll just put the pick up on the bottom of the screen. Because you know, again, you hear the chime, you go run and look. And do you know who came up with that chime?
John Tesh.
No. Bob Christensen.
Sheeran. Sorry.
Bob Christensen, he also
in
came
a
up
world
with...
without a little jingle for a draft.
He also came up with the March Madness theme song for CBS. He did ESPN's NHL theme song, and they were trying to figure out how to have something. They wanted something like the Wall Street Bell.
Gotcha. Something quick.
And they came up, he came up with this, and he came up with a bunch of possibilities. And the first year they did it, I believe was 2006. And it was supposed to be used with every pick. And for some reason, it didn't happen until the 8th pick of the draft. So they did all the picks. They were like through 7 picks and they hadn't used the chime yet. And the first time they used the chime was for the 8th pick of the draft when the Buffalo Bills selected Donte Whitner, cornerback, Ohio State.
He's the first one.
He's the first chime player. He's the first chime player. What do you hate about the draft? Can you have one you hate?
Yeah, I hate the term generational talent.
There it is.
I hate it. It's just overused. And ironically, I think Travis Hunter might be a generational talent if he plays both ways.
Right.
but you got to do something like that. Like, you know, like if a guy is just a great, great defensive end, he might even be a Hall of Fame. Like,
but it's once every 20 years. That's generational.
Yeah, it's something once. Yeah, like I said, like Haley's Comet. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever. You know, it doesn't happen all the time. Travis Hunter playing both ways would be generational. But yeah, otherwise, it just gets used for like the number one quarterback in every draft, right? Yeah, he's a generational talent. Like, dude, he's just the best quarterback in this year's draft.
It's my pet peeve when people say elite because they don't understand what the word elite means. Like, are there 10 elite quarterbacks, really? No, there are not. But my biggest thing that I can't stand about the draft is when they spoil who the pick is.
Oh, that's a great one.
Do not tell me who the pick is. You can tell me what they're looking at, and you can say that you might think this is who it's going to be, but when they know who it's going to be, and then they either hint at, oh, I think it's going to be this, if you know it, don't say it. Just don't ruin it. This is so great. I love the draft.
It's basically a flex by the insider to do so, I don't want them showing cutaways of the player taking the phone call.
Exactly.
But if somebody says, pick here is going to be Shedeur Sanders, they're going to take Sanders, and then the chime plays? I'm like, no.
No, it ruins everything.
Yeah.
And
they've gotten away from that. Ever was Peter Vesey on the NBA draft. That drove me nuts.
He was Peter Vesey. Okay. That guy was a major jerk. A major jerk in my experience with him. So I
like personal experience?
Yeah, like Ryan Mallett like.
Oh, that's a may he rest in peace. I will say this about things I hate about the draft. There's one term that I can't stand, and that is I hate the term positional value. Because it implies that all the drafts are the same, and they're not. All you have to do is look at this year's quarterback position. Should there be 3-4 quarterbacks in the top 12 this year?
No.
No. Every draft is different. So you start talking about positional value, the only value is relative to the other players in the draft.
And to what you want to do for your team.
If it just so happens that the best player in the draft is a tight end, and there's no better example than the selection of Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs got ripped because it wasn't positional value. And now we're talking about the Gibbs effect when it comes to the draft.
Well, you're talking about the Gibbs
effect. I am talking about the Gibbs effect. It's a real thing.
It's not a real thing.
It's a real thing. So anyway.
We've seen running backs going in the first round every year. Almost.
At least on my mock draft, I'd only have one pick at 28. Sorry. Now I've lost him.
You heard him. You cut him deep, man. You cut my man deep.
I like it, though.
You know what? If anyone could take two picks at 28, it'd be Brad Holmes.
That's true.
I think you're onto something there, Gator. He is good.
I don't know. I the way I read it on our website.
Oh, the corrected version?
Yes. But it's the corrected version. So enjoy that.
248-539-9797.
Or trash it, whatever you want.
You can see Gator's mock draft. Have you compared how you've done against Stoney in the past, by the way? I didn't even think about that.
If I just say better, would it make you feel better?
Have you done better?
I believe so.
I think we should find Stoney's mock.
He didn't leave it around?
No, he didn't. He's probably listening, and he'll drive in right now and hand out copies. Let's go to Brian in Port Huron. You're on 97.1 Ticket. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
This is my favorite night of the year.
Great.
What do you guys think of, and it was written up in one of the CBS sports sections or whatever, where a guy predicted that Cincinnati might be making a trade with someone toward the end of the first round for Hendrickson, and that he would put them over the top and head them to the Super Bowl. Do you think that the Lions would pull that trigger today?
Okay. Do you know, you said you saw it on CBS's website?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know who wrote it? Okay. It's okay. I want to see if we can find it.
It's one of the guys that does the, they all doing their, this is my last mock.
Okay.
And it was just a couple of days ago. And it kept me thinking, like, well, how would they pull that off? Well, you know, they've been trying to sign Hendrickson, Cincinnati, unsuccessfully. The Lions are in need of an edge that's an all-pro. They've got the money to pay him, and Cincinnati doesn't. So if they give him their first rounder, it might be a sweet deal.
Well, the problem with trading for Trey Hendrickson, it's not the draft cap you have to give up. It's the extension you'd have to sign him to. I still think they can do it. There'd be some pain in that a couple years down the road. You'd have to lose a player or two, but I think it'd be worth it. But I don't know if it doesn't seem like that's the Lions' MO to do things like that. But then again, the Lions haven't been in this position where they're already a Super Bowl caliber team this quickly. Why not make a bold move?
I feel like to make this trade, remember that it's the agent that's negotiating, and the agent wants him traded to a place where he can sign a long-term contract. Hell, Trey Hendrickson wants to be sent to a place where he can sign a long-term contract. I think it would be perceived as you are giving Trey Hendrickson Aiden Hutchinson's money. I doubt that they would sign Trey Hendrickson to a massive contract and re-sign Aiden Hutchinson the same offseason. And they don't have to re-sign Aiden Hutchinson this offseason. But that will create a very weird locker room dynamic where a player that was trending towards being the NFL Defensive Player of the Year before he got hurt will suddenly be a guy without a contract extension, and the new guy will be in the room with the contract extension. And you may say, I don't care about any of that. You may not. I think that would lead to a really weird locker room dynamic, and I don't know, man. I'm just not sure it's worth it. And people might find that hard to believe, but I also am not operating from a standpoint of they need to add another elite edge rusher, which some people think I'm crazy.
But. So I found this article from Cincinnati.com that quotes a couple different sources, and none of it corroborates anything that the previous caller said. So the idea of Cincinnati trade of star defensive end appears dead, according to a report Tuesday from Fox Sports' Jordan Schultz, who added that the team would love to complete a sweep of playing, paying for all their key players. Ian Rapoport appeared Monday on a Pat McAfee show and said that there was interest from the Colts and Hendrickson, but added that he knew the Bengals were working on keeping him in Cincinnati. And last week, ESPN's Jeremy Fowler said he wouldn't be surprised if Hendrickson strongly considers sitting out next season if he's not traded and doesn't get a new deal with the team.
I'll see if we can find what he reported that he said he saw. Maybe somebody else can link it to us, but I haven't seen that report, and I'm skeptical. Carson Anderson, open lines, 97.1 The Ticket.